Hello and welcome to The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24. Each week, the sharpest minds and freshest thinkers in the world of finance take you beyond the numbers and hype, right to the heart of the big issues of the day. The UBS Greater China Conference 2021 took place this past January, featuring a packed schedule of presentations from sector experts and thought leaders from all around the world. In the coming weeks on this programme, we'll be dipping into the GCC and bringing you insights and highlights from the event. Today, we're starting with a review of a fascinating panel entitled Economy of Wellness, the $4.5 trillion business of health and well-being. On the panel were Cathy Chon, founder and MD of Catchon, and an advisory board member for the Global Wellness Summit, Victor Koo, chairman at Heyi Holdings, co-founder of Chenren Culture and founder of Youku, and Thierry Malleret, founder and managing partner of Monthly Barometer, also the co-author, along with Klaus Schwab, of the bestseller COVID-19 The Great Reset. The moderator of the session, putting the questions, was Peggy Choi, CEO and founder of Link. We start our programme today hearing from Thierry Malleret. Peggy Choi began by asking Thierry about the book he co-authored with Klaus Schwab, COVID-19, The Great Reset, and how the pandemic's reframed the understanding of wellness in both the short and long term. Here's Thierry.
Wellness is not an industry. It's not an asset class. It's in fact everywhere and anywhere. It's very hard to define, even though you can see that there is an exploding interest in the issue of wellness. And you kindly mentioned the book, which I co-wrote with Klaus Schwab, the founder and executive chairman of the World Economic Forum. So the book, to a very large extent, is informed by conversations I had with global leaders, business leaders, policymakers, thinkers, media leaders. And you can see that one of the unexpected outcomes of COVID so far has been interest in wellness. We always mention tech as a winner of COVID, winner quote unquote, but well-being is the other. COVID, surprisingly, has made us aware that nature matters enormously to us. There is a renewed interest in nature. And if there were only one takeaway from COVID-19, it is the awareness that the wellness of our planet and the wellness of ourselves, the individual wellness, are two sides of the same coin. One cannot exist without the other. And I think it's a very important realization of the pandemic, this growing understanding that the two go hand in hand, and that if we want to have a future at all, it needs to be sustainable. So that's my main takeaway from COVID-19. And of course, wellness encompasses all of this at once.
That's interesting. And Cathy, zooming in on China market, what does the concept of wellness mean to the Chinese consumer? And what are the expectations and needs with respect to wellness?
So I think, let me start by saying that wellness as a concept is not new to China. In fact, the way we express wellness today is very much enshrined in traditional Chinese healing philosophies. You know, the idea of balance and energy and a holistic way of looking at health. So this has been part of codified in a TCM for centuries, right? And it's for this reason that Chinese healing philosophies continue to have arguably one of the largest influence on modern wellness today, okay? So what we're talking about here really is the emergence of the modern wellness movement. And I would say that this can be traced back to about 20, 30 years ago, around the same time that the travel market in China opened and we had outbound travel, when we had international hospitality brands building hotels in China together with very luxurious spas. It was also around the time that we started to see the swelling of the middle class, the growth of the middle class in China, as well as the emergence of the luxury market in China. So much about wellness and the expression of wellness has become a very much a status quo, or a status symbol, I should say, and very much associated with luxury pursuits. Now, what has happened is COVID has changed all of that. And what we're realizing is that wellness is no longer nice to have, it's a must have. So we are at an inflection point in terms of the wellness movement in China. And there are three drivers that we're looking at. One of which, and it's very critical, is the government push, policy push, when they introduced the Healthy China 2030 initiative about 4 or 5 years ago. And this basically puts public health in the forefront of all future social and economic development. Second is we have, obviously, the what we call the Generation Z, or Generation Z, depending on where you're from. And these are people born from the 90s onwards, and they are now being pegged as the next engine of consumer consumption and growth in the future. And they are also going to be what's going to be backing the luxury growth in the country. What is interesting to note, and this leads to my third point, which is going to be what's driving it, is also China's aging population. Okay, I mean, currently we have about 13% of the population are aged over 60 years old. But that is predicted to swell to 26% of the population. Roughly about 330 million people will be over 65 years old by 2050. But here's the deal. Most of those people are currently in the Generation Z segment. So these 20-somethings are growing up with an entirely different lifestyle from the generations before them. And they will be aging when they come to retirement age with a whole different mindset.
Victor, so wellness is merging with other industries as an economic force, and seems like wellness can indeed be an important long-term investment theme. What categories in wellness do you see growing fastest and mattering most in the future?
Well, thank you, Peggy. Pleasure to be here. In terms of mattering more in the future, one of the areas that matters more in wellness is what we put into our body, so-called key inputs, such as air, water, and food. This is ever more clear during COVID, as there's mounting evidence that people with pre-existing conditions, such as obesity, hypertension, and people living in geographical areas with high air pollution levels have the highest fatality rates. So the food and air that we put into our body directly drives outcome and wellness in this epidemic. As such, everyone is looking at how to raise their immunity and general health condition. Food and nutrition is clearly important. So a category that matters, and the food as medicine or as a key ingredient for wellness. So early success stories like Possible Foods, I just said food or food 2.0, that's been created and embraced by consumers, which will get better over time. I think living environments with good water and air quality are also important drivers here. So wellness community and real estate is also growing and prospering around this time. Technology and digital wellness is another area of growth around the world, as most people stay at home and have to rely on the internet to have access to deliveries, digital health, such as physical therapy training or mental wellness tutorials. Even virtual bike and workout exercises like Peloton and Mira, which recently acquired by Lululemon. So tech is clearly another growth trend.
Mm. So it touches upon a lot of different areas, Victor, in your response just now, from food to real estate to air quality to technology. I think there's no doubt that this is indeed a cross-sector theme that should be taken seriously. In the last year, we witnessed the rise of digital transformation in every industry due to lockdown and social distancing restrictions. For example, one of the best performing stocks is Peloton. There had been a huge demand for its home workout products and content as people stay home during the pandemic. Although people are eager to get back to travel and in-person fitness routines, it is believed that digital workouts will become a regular part of our daily lives. And question still remains on how travel will be post-pandemic. Theory, how are businesses and investors adapting today? How do you envision, wellness to evolve? And what do you think is the future of wellness given the digital transformation force?
Okay, thank you, Peggy. Well, I'm going to talk mainly from my own perspective, which is Europe, where I'm based. And I work with families, private investors mainly. So I'm going to talk about their own perspective. But as you know, as Victor said, just said, there is an explosion of interest in things that make us, in terms of health. And so the water we consume, the air we breathe, the food we eat are all very, very important. And when I was saying early on that there are two big macro winners from COVID-19, which are tech and well-being, it means that everything that is at the crux of tech and well-being is bound to benefit. So at the moment, there is an explosion in tech tools that are going to benefit wellness in the future, because COVID has been an accelerant for technology, and many things that were just inconceivable a year ago, like telemedicine, that was stuck in regulatory issues and very, very slow to adapt, is now a given. Telemedicine is everywhere, telewealth, etc. I'm just going to illustrate one of the points that Victor made about this potent combination of tech and wellness, which is the market, the global market for apps that measure the quality of the air we breathe. Well, these apps didn't exist 3 or 4 years ago. It was a non-existent market then. There were things being realized by governments and local authorities, but none of us could benefit from an app that tells you instantly in the location where you are what the air quality is like. Well, now it's a $5 billion market a year that is, according to some investment banks, that is moving by about 10-15% a year. And I want to give the example to illustrate this celerity in terms of innovation, the example of an Israeli startup that just produced an app that will be soon available to all of us that measures the quality of air in a city block by block and floor by floor. So it's amazing, and it's an example of AI and algorithm and tech innovation in general benefiting wellness. So from the perspective of Europe, where I am based again, I cannot think of one single family, private investor, who is not invested in wellness. And being invested in wellness can mean anything. It can mean wellness resorts, tech wellness, investing into organic wine, for example, which is one particular segment of the wellness industry, if one may say so, that is also exploding and growing at several 100% per year. So as I was saying earlier, wellness is not an asset class. It's everywhere, it's anywhere. You have excesses. I think at the moment, you can see some bubbles forming in the wellness space, and that moving forward will go back we'll go back to basic, the essential, what is good for us.
Thierry Malaret. In her remarks, Peggy Choi talked about how China has been looking more like business as usual, certainly for the last 6 months or so, and posed the question, does China's experience offer a template, or a hint at least, at what a path out of the pandemic might look like? And indeed, more broadly, what has the panel noticed in terms of changing consumer behaviours in response to the pandemic, and how they gauge the longer-term impacts of said? Cathy Chon picked up the theme.
Well, first of all, I don't think there's ever such a thing as going back to normal. I think we're on the road to recovery, or at least the sense of what new normal looks like. I mean, in travel, if we were to look at travel alone, and if we were to just look at the peak travel periods of the golden weeks in May and October, I mean, obviously there's so much pent-up demand to travel again. And just within that period, there were over 752 million Chinese domestic leisure travelers. And I think they spent some $74 billion over that period. So it is quite significant. What we are noticing within the travel realm is the way they travel is different. Obviously, a lot of emphasis on safety. We're seeing more and more customized trips and packaged tours. Would touch fewer touch points, fewer multi-destinations. There's also renewed interest in natural settings. We haven't seen this before, and we think that this is going to continue to grow. Another thing that we've noticed, and this is something that Victor has already mentioned, as well as Thierry, is this whole live fitness boom that's taking place, very much aided by all these new apps that are making fitness experiences available online and fitness teachings. I think last year we had some 260 million fitness online users, and I think that we're going to see, you know, the attendant effects on that in terms of sales of home fitness equipment, new apps that are going to be introduced in the coming year. We're also seeing a spike in terms of nutritional supplements, athleisure, and so on and so forth. Wearable technology, something both gentlemen mentioned as well. And, you know, behaviors are changing. I mean, one of the things that we're seeing is this heightened, to such an unprecedented level of sterilization. And, consumers paying more or giving more attention to home cleaning products, to making sure disinfection and making sure that your home environment is safe and clean. And we're seeing that as well in terms of the sale of air purifiers. So, you know, I think that going forward, yes, there is a lot of pent-up demand for travel. There is definitely a focus on safety. Now that you travel, you have codes that basically signify whether or not you're safe to travel. You know, a green code gives you the best kind of rating that says that you are well and you can travel. So I think that some of these things that have been rolled out in China could very well be the way we see things happening in the future across different sectors all over the world.
Mm. So this future of wellness, looks like there's a central theme here about back to nature and looking at how, we'll be really kind of focusing on our physical environments as well. And Victor, in your current roles, you have seen a wide range of innovation ventures and investment opportunities. What are some of the latest innovation trends and technologies in the wellness space that you've seen that gets you most excited?
Well, there are many areas of innovation. Let me cite a few. One of the areas to watch out for is personalized wellness and precision health and medicine. For example, with gene sequencing costs coming down dramatically in recent years, coupled with the latest diagnostic tools, tailored solutions that can benefit physical and mental wellness is increasingly possible and effective. So that's certainly something that's one level up. We all talked about all kinds of different mobile applications. And for example, in terms of managing chronic diseases such as diabetes, like Livongo, improving mental wellness such as breath work, meditation, there are many different apps related to that. What Theory talked about in terms of tracking air quality, but beyond air quality, what kind of seafood to eat, and water at different locations where you can have access to clean water, for example. So our lives are built around wellness, and how does this mobile applications help different parts of your life, whether you're going back to nature, whether you're trying to prevent diseases like COVID. These are all different tools that the mobile phone as well as a different connected device can help you manage your life to a world of wellness. So they will become increasingly popular as well.
How will the merging of healthcare, wellness, and also perhaps food play out? Will they ever go back to the silos? Is the future of wellness also future of healthcare and future of food?
I think if we start thinking in silos, we are doomed. And what wellness has done to us is to make us understand that everything is integrated, in fact. Everything contributes to our wellness, provided we do the right things. And moving forward, I think it's important to realize that wellness and health are completely intertwined. They are together. And as you said earlier, wellness is quintessentially preventative. So wellness precedes health, but wellness in many respects may become a policy imperative because governments, states have to find a solution to address the issue of rising healthcare costs, which are exploding at a time when every single government is going to be fiscally constrained. So wellness is a way to go. And it's of great interest to me to observe that Asia, in that respect, is very much ahead of the curve. You can see that Singapore, for example, has just put into place some incentive measures thanks to the new Apple wellness app. China is encouraging many universities to encourage the students to be well through, you know, very simple policy measures such as walking more, for example. So the way forward is wellness becoming very highly incentivized by policy measures, yeah, and possibly compulsory. You know, if we start thinking 10 years ahead of us, the fiscal constraints would be such that it would become compulsory to be well in order to be healthy.
Thierry Malloray. And that brings us to the end of this edition of The Bulletin with UBS, setting the agenda in the fast-moving world of finance each week here on Monocle 24. You can listen again and find out more, as always, at monocle.com or catch up via your preferred podcast platform. And for more from the GCC, well, listen out in the weeks ahead. Or right now, head to ubs.com and search GCC 2021 Wrap-Up for further information, insight and inspiration. The Bulletin with UBS on Monocle 24.